there are certain common features that underpin pre-Socratic Ionian philosophy. Notably, that these men were dissatisfied with the conventional explanations of the world that relied simply on stories. If we were to go back to the Theogony and read Hesiod's explanation for how the gods came about, and then how man came about, and how Pandora and women came about, what we're finding in these stories is explanations of the world, the cosmology of the Greeks, being based on myths. And it seems that in the 6th century, a number of men began to feel dissatisfied with this, to reject the notion of anthropomorphic gods, the notion that the gods were really like you and me, with our same shortcomings, only written on a larger scale, like Shakespeare's notion of kingship. This was something that they found unacceptable. And instead, these philosophers of the Ionian Enlightenment turned their attention to investigating what they called physis, that is to say, the natural world. And in doing so, what they were trying to do was really to do what we saw Thucydides doing with history in our last two lectures, that is, to outline what the underlying lessons were. What is the basis of reality? What is the core essence of the way that the universe, the cosmos, operates? A number of these philosophers proposed different theories to explain this. We have very little of their philosophy surviving, and so usually we can only offer a single line or two summarizing their essential outlook. Heraclitus of Ephesus, for example, in the 6th century, emphasized the impermanence of everything, claiming that all is flux, pantare, all things change. He's notable for having said you cannot step into the same river twice. This conundrum, of course, is meant to express the idea that because the cosmos is like a river ever changing, you cannot step into that one spot because the moment you have, it is gone. And that is the essence of creation and of life, in his view. On the other hand, Anaximander, another of the pre-Socratic philosophers, explored the notion that there was a single, imperishable, uniform substance. In other words, that the entire cosmos was made out of the same material, so that we are all quite literally connected at, if you like, the subatomic level by being essentially made of the same matter. This material was called the apeiron, the imperishable substance of the universe. Thales, on the other hand, spoke of logos, that is to say, measure or proportion, the notion that in the universe there is a detectable order. And for him, what was important was that there is a wholeness to the universe, that the universe is not moving completely randomly or in a disorganized fashion, but that everything in creation relates to everything else in creation. So the natural world is an expression of an underlying principle, if you will, logos, a measure or a proportion. These natural philosophers that I've been talking about operated by observation and by inquiry. And through this method, they produced startling results that combined elements of a range of different disciplines. We would call some of it science, we would call some of it philosophy. Some of it, in our eyes, would appear, in fact, even to be theology. It's hard to draw the distinctions between these fields in the work of the Ionian philosophers. They really operate together. So, for example, in the case of Democritus and Leucippus, they argued that the world, that everything, the cosmos, was made up of tiny, indivisible and invisible particles that were moving in a void. Now, because these things could not be cut, they were the smallest elements of creation, they were called in Greek that which cannot be cut, atoma. Atoms. So with Democritus and Leucippus, we get observations that anticipate our idea of atomic theory and nuclear science, though we, of course, have managed to do that which by definition cannot be done. We've split the atom. By definition, an atom to the Greeks is something that cannot be split. Anaxagoras suggested that the universe was blended of an infinite number of elements. So it was not that the same material was found through the universe, but rather that there was coordinating all of these and keeping them together in uniform, harmonious pattern, a divine intelligence. And for this he coined the expression nous, mind, intelligence.